This is Alive with Joseph.
Before you sit, I want us to read our foundation scripture for this journey. I will see how far the Lord helps us. We'll finish it next week, Wednesday. Amen. So we'll probably extend it to Quantum Leap, day 3. Hallelujah. So let's build from Exodus chapter 7. I'll read from verse 14 to 16. Exodus 7 from verse 14 to 16. It says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuseth to let the people go. Get thee unto Pharaoh in the morning. Lo, he goeth out unto the water, and thou shalt stand by the river's brink against he come. And the rod which was turned to a serpent shall thou take in thy hand. And thou shalt say unto him, The Lord God of the Hebrews have sent me unto thee, saying, Let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. And behold, hitherto thou wouldest not hear." Amen. I want you to announce to 3 people tonight the title of my message. Reach out to 3 people, walk up to them, look into their eyes, eyeball to eyeball, and declare over them, it is time for you to stretch for your quantum leap. Stretch for your quantum leap. It is time for you to stretch for your quantum leap. Stretch for your quantum leap. Stretch for your quantum leap. Now announce it over yourself. Thunder, I will stretch for my quantum leap. Thunder, I will stretch for my quantum leap. Give the Lord your praise. Hallelujah. Please, you may be seated. One thing I know is in a season of quantum leap, you are always being stretched. Every time that God wants a people to experience a quantum leap, one of the things he does for them is to stretch them. There is a quote I have seen, and I know that most of you know it. The quote says, growth and comfort cannot coexist. Growth and comfort cannot coexist. That is to say, if you want to experience a quantum leap, if you want to experience radical development and radical growth, then you must be willing to go through some radical discomfort. You cannot experience growth if you are not willing to go through discomfort. That is to say, the seasons that you experience the most discomfort are often the seasons that you experience the most growth. The seasons that you experience the most discomfort are often the seasons that you experience the most development. That is, God often orchestrates and allows the seasons of discomfort to be able to initiate a quantum leap in our lives. That is, if you do not understand the stretching that God initiates to enable you experience a quantum leap, you may end up mislabeling and mismanaging that season. That is, when God orchestrates and initiates a season that will bring some discomfort so that you can grow or experience a quantum leap, if you do not understand that it is the Lord who is stretching you, you will end up mislabeling, mismanaging that season. You will end up calling that season is a season full of stress, is a season full of suffering, is a season full of hardship. And I can safely say that some of you are actually in that season right now, where God has initiated certain things to stretch you, where God has initiated certain things to help fast track and fast forward your development. When you are not aware of all of this, you will mislabel the season, you will call it names that the season doesn't have. And while actually those seasons are seasons that God have designed for you to be able to stretch so that you can experience a development, growth, and a quantum leap. And I pray for you in this season. May you not abandon your stretching season in the name of Jesus. I say, may you not abandon your times where God wants you to stretch in the name of Jesus. And listen, when you submit to the stretching of God, one of the things that happens is he will expose you to a version of yourself, or rather a version of himself. And at the same time, he will introduce you to a version of yourself that eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard, that have not been conceived in the heart of any man. That is, when you submit to that stretching, when you allow the Lord to stretch you, one thing that happens is He doesn't just expose himself to a version, expose you to a version of himself. He also exposes you to a version of yourself. You begin to see that there are strength in you that you never knew existed. I pray for you again. May you submit to the stretching of God in the name of Jesus. I pray for you tonight. May you submit to the stretching of God in the name of Jesus. So you and I must allow God stretch us. You and I must allow God stretch us, because when you allow God stretch you, he stretches you until you are stronger. When you allow God stretch you, he stretches you until you are wiser. When you allow God stretch you, he stretches you until you are better. When you allow him stretch you, he stretches you until you are more resilient. He stretches you until you are more powerful. He stretches you until you are more anointed. He stretches you until you are more disciplined. He stretches you until you are more discerning, you are more prayerful, you are more spiritual. When you allow him stretch you, he stretches you until a better version of you emerges. I pray for you today. May that version of you appear in the name of Jesus. I say, may that version of you appear in the name of Jesus. I declare over you tonight, as you submit to the stretching of God, may a greater version, a more powerful version, a more anointed version, a more resilient version of yourself and destiny appear in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise tonight if you believe that. I say, give Jesus praise tonight, not Joseph. Give Jesus praise tonight. Give Jesus praise tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Your heavenly Father will always stretch you until you become a better version of yourself that the adversary cannot be able to handle. He stretches you until you become a better version of yourself, until you are not able to recognize yourself again. Child of God, your quantum leap is on the other side of the stretch. Your next level is on the other side of the stretch. And I pray for you, you will not miss it in the name of Jesus. I say you will not miss it in the name of Jesus. So stop resisting the stretching of God, because your stretching, or rather you refusing to be stretched, is delaying you. You refusing to be stretched is delaying your quantum leap. You refusing to be stretched is delaying your growth, is delaying your development. You refusing to be stretched is delaying things around you. And I pray for you, you will no longer delay in the name of Jesus. I said delay is broken in the name of Jesus. I've come to discover that the reason why some people are delayed in life is not necessarily because they are being attacked. The reason why some people are delayed in life is because they are resisting the stretching of God. They are resisting the stretching of God. Well, for example, for a student to get into the next level of a university, the student has to be stretched by matric exam. If the student rejects matric exam stretching, the student will not be able to come into university, even if the father is the richest man on the earth. Because it's a necessary stretching that is necessary for the growth and the development of that child. I pray for you, anyone under the sound of my voice that is resisting the necessary stretching of God, I ask tonight that the Lord will deliver you in the name of Jesus. You will no longer delay your next level in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise tonight. Hallelujah. So stop resisting the stretching, because God wants you to stretch. God doesn't only want, you know, to stretch us in our mindset. He also wants to stretch us in our spiritual growth. He wants to stretch us in our spiritual growth. So could it be that some of you right now, your current spiritual practices or your current spiritual growth, they are in the way of your quantum leap? They are the ones interfering with your quantum leap. It is very easy for you to confuse what worked before and what is working now. Very easy. Very easy. It is very easy for a believer to confuse what worked before and what is working. Could it be also that the way you have structured your spiritual life, it has served you in the past season, and now that you are supposed to be experiencing a quantum leap, that way is no longer serving you? Could it be that the way you structured your spiritual life, you know, you've structured your spiritual life in a way whereby, you know, at least you must manage to pray 1 hour a day, and that has helped you to a certain level. But God is saying the next level will require that you go beyond 1 hour. It's going to be a stretch. But could it be that you are refusing to stretch because it is putting a demand on you, and as a result, you are not experiencing a quantum leap? Hallelujah. There are some of you right now that feel like, you know, you feel like God has withdrawn himself from you. Yes, God is everywhere at the same time. But there is what is called in theology, manifest presence of God. And some of you right now, you know that God is everywhere, but you're no longer experiencing the manifest presence of God. You know, the things of God has become a religion. The things of God has just become a routine. Could it be that the reason why you are not experiencing the manifest presence of God is because God is stretching you and you are resisting the stretch? Hallelujah. It feels like God has withdrawn. So you are feeling like you are spiritually stagnant. You're wondering, why is it that I don't feel and sense the nearness of God the way I used to before? Listen, friends, God has not left you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. But one thing I want you to understand is he can withdraw himself, because if that doesn't happen, if you keep experiencing the manifest presence of God at the current spiritual level where you are, you will never see the relevance of you currently chasing after God. If you do not experience, you know, a such level of withdrawal, you will not see a need why you must keep chasing after God. You will not see a need. You will not see a need why you must keep chasing after God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God withdraws himself so as to allow you chase him. I read a book some years ago called God Chases by Tommy Tenney. What an amazing book. And I would suggest and recommend you read that book if you have not read it. And if you have read it, go read it again. God chases us. So God allows you to chase him so as to allow you make the necessary adjustments. Because, friends, he wants to see, or rather, he wants you to see that he wants to do a new thing in your life. And now you have to chase him for you to be able to receive the quantum leap, the new thing, the growth, the development he has preloaded in your life. He has preloaded it, but you and I must come to the place where we are able to chase after our God. It's a scripture says, as the deer pants after the water brooks, the deer pants. As the deer hungers after. We live in a time where believers are no longer hungry for God. It has become a routine. As the deer, pants after, the deer hungers. Thank you so much. The deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. Hallelujah. Let's put our hands together and give Jesus praise tonight. Too many believers are no longer hungry. Their hunger is gone. And some of you right now, you can testify. You no longer feel the nearness of God, if you must be honest with yourself. Church has just been a routine. And the danger with such a thing is that, you know, you start speaking the Christian language. Blessed, lifted, anointed, graced. But you know, the nearness is gone. You know. You can't remember the last time you opened the scriptures and a verse of the scriptures jumped out and hit you. Believers chase after too many things, excluding God. I pray for you. Let the hunger to chase after God return back to your soul in the name of Jesus. I say, let it return back to your soul in the name of Jesus. Let it return back to your soul in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise tonight if you believe that. So friends, you and I cannot experience a quantum leap without spiritual stretching. What is spiritual stretching? Spiritual stretching is God pulling you from one level of spiritual encounter to another level of spiritual encounter. The Apostle Paul puts it this way, but we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, we are changed. What is that glass? The word of God. As we behold, we are changed into the same image that we see. We are changing to it. And by the reason of that change, we go from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the living God. We are being changed into what we see. We are being changed into what we see. The challenge is, the reason why many believers are not being changed into what they see is because they are not seeing anything. They are not seeing anything. They are not beholding anything. They are not beholding, because the only thing that guarantees you being changed is what you're beholding. And if you're not beholding anything, you can't be changed into anything. Hallelujah. So spiritual stretching is also divine pulling. It is God pulling you out of what you are not willing to walk out of. Is God pulling you out of what you are not willing to walk out of. There are some of you right now, if God had not pulled you out of some things, you would never have walked out of it. There are some of you right now, the mindset God pulled you out of, if he had not pulled you out of that mindset, you would not have walked out of you. Some relationships he pulled you out of, some addiction he pulled you out of it. If he had not pulled you out of it, you probably would have been a history by now. But God pulled you out. I pray for you tonight. Anyone that is still resisting the pulling out of God, I declare the Lord brings you out in the name of Jesus. He pulls you out. So spiritual stretching is God pulling us out of what we are not willing to walk out of. So many of you, you like where you are. Let's not mess up. You know, you hear the saying, don't disturb what is working. Is that how they put it? If it's not broken, don't fix it. No, you have to fix this one. Because if you have to wait for it to be broken before you fix it, there will be chaos. So God brings you out. Some of you, you like where you are, but God loves you much more than where you are. That he is willing to get you out of where you are, because he will not allow you to interfere with his assignment over your life. So when you were in what was killing you softly and you were refusing to walk out, God came and pulled you out. Some of you, the relationship was killing you softly. You're already singing the song in your heart. Hallelujah. It was killing you softly. You refused to walk out, but God came in his mercy. Because you have an assignment. I say you have an assignment. You are a man, a woman on purpose. I declare, Meluka Tuska, whatever has kept you where you ought not to be, I declare tonight, let there be divine intervention. Come out in the name of Jesus. I say, come out in the name of Jesus. I say, come out in the name of Jesus. So some of you, you were married to what was killing you softly. The Bible calls it the little foxes that ruin the vine. Songs of Solomon chapter 2 verse 15. The little foxes. So is there anyone here tonight who, you know, the little foxes, you are grateful to God for pulling you out of the little foxes that was ruining the vine of your destiny? Is anyone grateful that God, there was a divine pull they had to experience? And if you're that person, give God your praise tonight. Give him praise tonight. You know the little foxes that he had to pull you out of. Celebrate him tonight. Give him praise. You hear me, friends? God pulling you out was purposeful. That is why he has not allowed you stay in the same thing that your friends stayed in. He has not allowed you stay in what some of your family members have stayed in. And because what God has for you requires him to pull you out, he came and pulled you out. He came and delivered you. He came and rescued you. Because he has an assignment on your life. You have been delaying for too long. He has a journey that you must undertake. Hallelujah. And I speak to everyone under the sound of my voice tonight. I announce over you, God brings you out of that decline into a quantum leap in the name of Jesus. God delivers you from those little foxes in the name of Jesus. He pulls you out of that decrease into a quantum leap in the name of Jesus. Give me two powerful amen. Two. Hallelujah. Hear this, friends. Every time you get comfortable with the status quo, God will pull you out. When you forget, every time you forget who you are, God will come bring you out. Even if you run and get into a ship that is on its way to Tarshish, like Jonah, my friend, don't make it too difficult for yourself. Don't spend extra 3 days in the belly of a fish when you shouldn't be spending those 3 days in the belly of a fish. God will chase you down because his name is on you. Listen, his assignment is on your life. You have a purpose to fulfill. And I pray for you tonight. No devil in hell will stop that purpose from manifesting in the name of Jesus. I say no devil in hell will stop your purpose from manifesting in the name of Jesus. So for you to experience a quantum leap, you and I need more than what worked. You need something that is working. And our text in the book of Exodus chapter 7 reveals this to us. We see in that book in Exodus chapter 7 where we have read God arming Moses with a language that Moses needed to use for his assignment. He was arming Moses with a language that Moses needs for an assignment with someone that Moses was already intimidated by. So he was arming him with what he needs. He came to him and said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refused to let my people go. Get thee unto Pharaoh. In the morning, he goeth and all of those things. When you get to him, say to him, the Lord God of Hebrews has sent me, say, let my people go. God was arming him with a language he must use for to him to go confront a man that he was already intimidated by. And I can imagine Moses saying to God, I ran from this man to save my life. And now you are telling me to go back to the same man, to go back to the same person I ran from. And not just to go back, but also to go tell him to release his slaves to me. To release his slaves. His slaves to me. Then God gives Moses a language. He says to him, go tell Pharaoh to let my people go so that they may worship me in the wilderness. Let me stand there and pray for you. I declare today, whatever has interfered with your worship with God, I declare you are free in the name of Jesus. I command that thing to let you go in the name of Jesus. I command that thing to let you go in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise tonight. Now listen carefully, friends. He didn't just say what needed to happen. He also said why it needed to happen. Let my people go. What needed to happen? They may worship me. What? Why it must happen? So he says to Pharaoh, he says to Moses, tell Pharaoh, I need you to go let, to go tell Pharaoh that they must, he must let my people go so that they can come and worship me in the wilderness, so that they can come and worship me in the wilderness. What does the wilderness represent? He says, let them go so that they can worship me in the wilderness. Now, the wilderness represented an in-between season for the Israelites. It represented, hear me carefully, an in-between season for the Israelites. This was when they were out of Egypt, but has not yet entered Canaan. They were out of Egypt, but had not yet entered Canaan. It was when they were not where they were before, but they had not gotten to where they were going. They were not where they were before, but at the same time, they had not gotten to where they were going. Things were not as bad as they used to be, but they are not as good as it should be either. So God was simply saying to Moses, I want to teach my people how to worship when they are in the middle season. When they are in the season where things is not as bad as it used to, but things is not as good as it should be. So I want to teach them how to worship me when they are in the season or when they are in the middle. That is, I don't want them to only know how to praise and worship me when things are done, when it has been concluded, when it is all said and done. Hear this, friends. God wanted them to be able to worship even when they are still going through. Though I walk through the valley. So as you're walking through, God still expects you to worship him. Hear this. Praise, or rather, appreciation praises God at the end, but faith praises God in the middle. Appreciation praises God at the end, but praise in the middle of it. I'm still giving God praise. I'm not where I used to be, but I'm not where God wants me to be yet. In the middle, right in the wilderness, I am giving him praise. Child of God, don't wait until you have entered your quantum leap before you praise God. While you are still on your way, also praise him, because that is an expression of your faith in the God who will finish whatever he has started. Is your faith in the God who will not leave you halfway, the God who will not abandon you halfway. And how many people believe tonight that God will not abandon them halfway? If you believe that, give him your praise tonight. Give him your praise tonight. Praise him while you are in the middle. You are in the middle of the journey, praise him. You are in the middle of the journey, praise him. You have applied for the job, they have not called you for interview yet, praise him. You have applied for the business proposal you've submitted, but they have not called you to receive the contract yet. Lift your voice and give him praise. Don't wait until you have signed the contract. Appreciation is praising God at the end, while faith is praising God in the journey. Hallelujah. I know he will finish what he has started. You didn't hear me. I said, no, he will finish what he has started. He that began a good work in you, he began the good work. Therefore, no devil will abort it halfway in the name of Jesus. And because I'm confident that he will not allow the devil abort it halfway, I give him praise while I'm still in the middle of the journey. I celebrate him. I give him praise. While I'm still taking the medication, I give him praise, knowing fully well he will heal my body completely. He will restore my soul completely. Give him praise one more time tonight. Celebrate him tonight. There are people that are willing to say, I'm on my way to my next level. I am on my way to a quantum leap. I am on my way to testify. I am on my way to a new season. I am not waiting until I get to destination before I praise God. That was what happened with the 10 lepers, the one that returned back. He was on his way. He was on his way. He was on his way. He was in the middle. He returned back to Jesus. And Jesus asked him, where are the other 9? Because I expect you to keep praising me while you're in the middle. Hallelujah. So God tells Moses, I want them to come worship me in the wilderness. You know, as I read that scripture, Exodus 7, you know, I was wondering why they had to leave Egypt to go worship God in the wilderness. Why can't they worship God right where they are? And If you read the scriptures very well, you will see that, you know, because actually the Bible tells us that they cried unto God and God heard them. So that means they were, it was not as if they were not worshiping God already. They were already worshiping God in Egypt. Now understand also, hear this carefully, that the Israelites, they were a people with very rich spiritual heritage. They are the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And also don't forget, they only came into Egypt. The reason why they came into Egypt was because there was famine. Remember when Moses, when Joseph's brother sold him out as a slave, and God elevated him while he was in Egypt. And they came into Egypt because there was famine in the land, and Egypt was the only place that they had food. So God, by his wisdom, positioned Joseph in a place of prominence in the administration of Pharaoh. And Joseph used his spiritual gift and his prophetic insight to make business decisions that caused Egypt to prosper during the famine. He used his spiritual insight, he used his prophetic gift to make a decision that prospered Egypt during the famine. So everybody came to Egypt to buy from Egypt. And because they prospered during the famine, they were positioned now to become the nation that fed the world. And they were able to save Joseph's family during the famine. Now hear this, to everybody, hear this. Joseph was not a preacher. Joseph was not an apostle, so to say, with a title. Joseph was not an evangelist. Joseph had no pastor title to his name. Joseph had no church. Joseph didn't even work in the church. But he utilized his spiritual gifts in the marketplace that brought prosperity to a nation. Listen, if the only place your spiritual gift works is in the church, then what you have is not spiritual gift, it's church gifts. That's what you have. You have church gift. If the only place where until you stand on a pulpit, that is the only time your spiritual gift is functioning. You are prophesying, Uri, 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 Uri. You're calling phone numbers all over the place. Without adding value to the economy, your spirit, you have church gift. That's what you have. That's what you have. His prophetic insight. Listen, friends, opened up prosperity in a land. Why? Because a spiritual gift will go to work wherever God is at work. Your spiritual gift shouldn't only work in this room. It should also work in the boardroom. That you are about, that's what I was trying to teach on Sunday, December. That, you know, deals are about to be signed. You are seated there. You are hearing their voice, but you're seeing their hearts. And the reason why we have chaos in the church of Jesus Christ, where everybody is preaching, everybody, is because people are yet to understand the purpose of their spiritual gift is not to open another shop down the road. And that's why too many believers are not as relevant as they should be in the marketplace. They are so irrelevant. The only place they shine is put them on the pulpits. They are shining everywhere. But they can shine in the marketplace where they are really, really needed. I pray for you today. May your spiritual gift find expression in the marketplace in the name of Jesus. I say, may it find expression in the marketplace in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your highest praise tonight. Hallelujah. And that prophetic insight and discernment you have, it should also work in the boardroom. So the Jews, they came from a rich spiritual heritage. So they were already worshiping. So then, why did God say, I need to bring them out of Egypt for them to worship him in the wilderness? Don't miss this. Why did God say that? They were already worshiping. They had rich spirituality. They were already worshiping in Egypt. They were already practicing their faith. But listen carefully. The reason was they were practicing the diluted version of their faith in Egypt. They were practicing their faith that they have combined with Egyptian cultural practices. They were practicing their faith that they had combined with Egyptian cultural practices. Now, they didn't know that in doing that, they were in them practicing their faith that they have mixed with Egyptian cultural practices, that they were diluting the purity of their faith. And when I read that, I said to myself, this is exactly what is happening in our time. Too many Christians, they are Christian on Sunday. And on Monday, I think they say, what do they call that? Imbele. On Monday, they are into ancestral worship. So they are practicing their faith mixed with ancestral worship. So you see a Christian on her waist, she's tying all kinds of things. All kinds of rope is on her waist. If we do the check now, you'll be shocked. Some are carrying it here. Yeah. They're carrying it. The thing is on their waist. Even men, because when I say waist, including men. Because I've seen men who have that thing on their waist, including men. They're tying that thing on their waist. You check some of them right now. Yeah, here. Yeah. Okay, not here. Another church down the road. They have things that they have marked on their body. Fresh. So the purity of the faith is diluted. The purity of the faith. So God said, if you can't worship me with Egyptian cultural practices. Come out. Come to the wilderness. And I'll show you shortly. He said, come out. They thought, listen, oh Jesus. Just because they were more spiritual than the people in Egypt, they thought they were better. What they didn't know was that they were still dealing with a spiritual deficit. And that's what happened with some of us. You know, just because you come to our life church, join morning prayers, but you're still mixing with cultural practices. So somehow, the one that doesn't join morning prayers, you think you are better. The one that doesn't come to church, you think you are better. So just because they were better than the people in Egypt, they thought, they didn't know that they were still dealing with a spiritual deficit. Now, this is the danger of comparison. God has never called you and I to compare ourselves to others. The scripture actually says concerning comparison. Second Chronicles, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. So God wants you to compare yourself to your potential. He wants you to compare yourself to your potential. And if you're comparing yourself to other people, listen, friends, you can give yourself a grade that is higher than your real performance. And that's what many are doing. They're giving themselves a grade higher than their real performance because they are actually, I'm better than Joseph. At least, you know, I'm not doing the kind of thing he's doing. So at least I'm better. Because it doesn't take much to be better than Egypt. I repeat, it doesn't take much to be better than those who are in Egypt. It doesn't take much. So when you compare yourself with those in Egypt, you will always be better. Because it doesn't take much to be better than those in Egypt. It doesn't take much. Now, how do I know that they were engaged in Egyptian practices? Follow me. When Moses went to the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments from the Lord, because God invited him over, he stayed 40 days receiving the instruction from the Lord. Now, because of their trauma, when Moses took that long to calm down, they confused Moses taking long to be abandonment. They confused him taking long to be abandoned. Because when Moses left, he didn't tell them how long he would stay. Even he himself didn't know that he was going to stay 40 days. God just invited him over. That's why I respect the guy called Joshua. Because he stayed there until the master came back. He didn't know how long the master would come. He stayed put. Can you imagine 10 days? Imagine this generation. Hey, Pastor Joseph goes. And after 2 days, he's not back. I can tell you what you will say. They think we are their slaves. They just leave us and not even tell us anything. They think they are better than us. Joshua stayed 40 days. Moses didn't tell him. Moses didn't know he would stay 40 days. So you can imagine Joshua sitting at the foot of the mountain. I don't know if he was eating or not. Let me not go into all that because the Bible didn't. Let's be silent where the Bible is silent. I don't know if he was eating or drinking. I don't know. But the man sat 40 days. He didn't return back to the camp. He stayed. So Moses went to get some instructions to help them. But because of all their trauma, they think he has abandoned them. They were allowing their old experience with Pharaoh to decide how they relate with their new leader, Moses. So, in their anxiety, they reached back for what they were familiar with and they built a golden calf. Have you allowed your past experience to decide the new thing that God is doing in your life? Have you allowed that? Because they allowed the trauma of the past with Pharaoh to mess them up so much that they felt, well, we're used to this. So let's reach back to what we are familiar with. Let me show you. Look at it. Exodus 32 from verse 1 to 6. When the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, "Come, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him." Aaron answered them, "What a useless leader. Take off the gold earrings that your wives, your sons, what God blessed them with, God blessed them with. Tithes they will not tithe. But to give to a shrine, they are ever willing to give to a shrine. God, they came out. They were supposed to come out of Egypt empty-handed. But the Almighty God delivered gold and silver into their hands. The same thing God gave to them. They used it to serve idols." Haven't you noticed how it is easy for people to buy alcohol with their money and don't complain? But when it comes to giving to God, they will always complain. The church always wants our money. They can do every other thing. A person can buy a shoe of 5,000 rands. They don't see anything wrong with it. A person can make Brazilian hair, you know, Peruvian hair, Jamaican hair, whatever hair they feel like, and make it for 20,000. But the same person comes to church and gives 2 rand. Because they don't see anything wrong with it. When Moses went, when Aaron said to them, "Bring it," they brought them to me. Say, "Bring it to me." So all the people took off their earrings. Did you see? They didn't even resist. They didn't resist. Don't, haven't you noticed when people go to charlatans called prophets, they never resist to give them money. They give. One-on-one, 7,000, they give. But when it comes to giving in the house of God, they will always resist. And yet, when they are in trouble, they say, "God, deliver me." They never go back to the altar they have gone to bow their knees to. Give the Lord your praise tonight. Hallelujah. So all the people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. He took what they had handed him and made it into an idol, casting the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. Then they said, "These are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt." When Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of the calf and announced, "Tomorrow there will be a festival to the Lord." So the next day, the people rose early and sacrificed burnt offerings, presented fellowship offerings. Afterwards, they sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in reverie. So they mixed their faith. They had mixed their faith with Egyptian cultural practices. I'm showing you. So you can see it. When the situation presented itself, they returned back to the Egypt. So their faith was already diluted. Now that explains why God said, "Come out of Egypt and worship me in the wilderness." Because your faith has already been mixed with Egyptian cultural practices. Listen to this. So this is my question. How did they know how to build a golden calf? They learned it in Egypt. The golden calf they built was actually one of the gods of Egypt. Are you aware? The calf was a symbol of Egyptian gods, most notably the Apis bull, which represented the god Peter and was considered a sacred animal. The calf was one of the, you know, the gods. So you can see that their faith was already diluted. My friend, can I ask you tonight? You may not like this question, but I need to ask you. Is your faith already diluted? Have you diluted your faith with all kinds of witchcraft practices? You have God plus, Jesus plus. Things happen to you. You come to church by the time the first service finishes, so you come very early to first service. So by the time first service finishes by 9:30, you are on your way to another Baba. Somewhere. Because the faith is diluted. The faith is diluted. It is mixed. Did you see? They reach back to what they went back. So he built for them. So while they were in Egypt, oh, thank you, Jesus, they were not openly worshiping the gods of Egypt, but in their hearts, they were worshiping the God of Egypt. Which God are you worshiping that has hindered you from a quantum leap? Some of you don't have an idol, but you have made certain things into an idol. You know what you have made an idol, what you can't live with. You know yourself. I'm not going to get into numbering them. My time is up. You know what you've made. What have you made into an idol that you can afford to forfeit the house of God for that thing? Anything you can give up for the house of God is an idol. What have you made an idol? Can I get someone on the keyboard? Because the way they are looking at me, I need to run off quickly. What they didn't know is that if you have the Almighty God with you, my friend, you don't need the calf. Listen, friends, you don't need the calf. God was not intimidated. Why did God destroy the calf? He wasn't intimidated by the calf. He wasn't insecure because of the calf. Them having the calf didn't negatively affect God. What happened was it negatively affected them. Why? The golden calf will make promises to them it cannot deliver on. The calf can't heal you, my friend. Can I tell you this? The golden calf can set you free. The golden calf can fight your battles when you are confronted by your enemies. The golden calf cannot wipe away your tears. The golden calf cannot deliver you from habits, from addictions, from bondages. The golden calf has no power. It has no power. It has no power. God wanted them to know that the calf didn't bring them out of Egypt. It was him who brought them out of Egypt. And I don't know who you are. The calf, I came to tell you, the calf didn't bring you out of Egypt. It is God who brought you out. The calf may be your certificate. He didn't give you that job. There were those who had better certificate than you. You are only carrying diploma and they're giving you the job. And someone is carrying PhD, DD, WWE and they didn't give them the job. How dare you tell me it's your certificate? Your diploma certificate that you got from one college down the road? We can't even pronounce the name. And you're seated in a big position. Seated any salaries. And every day you tell me your certificate got you that job. No, my friend. It is the God of heaven who gave you that job. Remember you the Lord your God. For it is he who gives you the power to get wealth. Give the Lord your praise tonight. Gave you that job. The calf didn't. The calf didn't heal your body. The doctors only gave you medication because people drank the same medicine and they died. You drank the same medicine. You didn't complete the cycle. You already healed. The calf didn't keep your marriage together. No. The calf didn't cause you to be married. There are ladies who are more beautiful than you. And they are not married. You think it's your beauty, the calf. You think because I was in the right place at the right time. What rubbish. Which right place, which right time? Who told you that? The calf did not bring you to where you are. It is the God of heaven. It is the God of heaven. He is your Ebenezer. He is your high tower, your bridge over many waters. He is the God of heaven that brought you to where you are. Lift your voice and give him praise this evening. If you know that the calf did not bring you to where you are, give him praise. Your children are not giving you problem. It's not because you trained them well. It is God. It is God who looked at them and said, you will not disgrace the covenant. Lift your voice and celebrate the Lord tonight. Lift your voice and celebrate the Lord tonight. Open your mouth. For the poison that you ate that didn't harm you, it was God who did it. My friend, give God, your God did it, praise.
Give him your God did it praise. It was God who did it. It was God who did it. It wasn't the universe that brought you out of Egypt. It was the creator of the universe that brought you out of Egypt. Anamarata, I came to speak to someone. Stop giving the calf your credit. Stop giving the calf. Your ancestors didn't deliver you. Stop going to that grave. Come to the house of the Lord and give him your praise. Thank him for preserving you. Thank him for protecting you. Thank him for providing for you. For if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, our enemies would have swallowed us up quickly. Thanks be to God who did not give us as prey to the teeth of our enemies. Give the Lord your praise. Give him your God did his praise. Give him your God did it praise. Give him your God did it praise. It wasn't the calf. It was God. Lift your voice. Just bless the Lord. I don't know why you want to pray this one, but go ahead. Express yourself before your Father.
Thank you so much for listening. We believe you were blessed by the word. For more, please visit our website, www.alivewithjoseph.com, as well as subscribe to our YouTube channel, Alive with Joseph Mogocha. Till next time, God bless.